Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with Cecil Blackford of Tehachapi, California, one of 4 brothers who all served in World War II. He spent 27 months aboard the historic hospital ship USS Solis, which before he came aboard had been at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. In fact, the crew of the Solis actually took film footage of the explosion aboard the USS Arizona, and men from the Solis evacuated wounded from the Arizona, the West Virginia, the Oklahoma. All told, the Solis earned 7 battle stars in World War II, caring for thousands of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines wounded in places like Guam, Saipan, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa. We've heard about Mr. Blackford's duties on the ship and some of the different things that he witnessed, and he also mentioned that his mother passed away while he was serving overseas. I know this is not easy to talk about, but can you share that story with us, what it was like for you when you got that devastating news?
It's awful, because I knew, and what had happened, even the captain had come down later on and seen me, captain of the ship, come down. He said, "I'm very sorry to hear about your mother." And so what I did, which is very appreciative, I told the guy at the treasurer, I had money in the books. I said, "I'd like to have you make a money order out. I was going to send back to Dad to pay for the funeral," because I was real close to my mom, because I told her I was sending money for her to get her teeth fixed or something or other, because she had real bad teeth. Use that money to help do that. She wrote back and she says that Dennis says her gums were so warped in or too, it was impossible. So I said, "Well, go ahead and use it. I can see when I come home, I'll see what you got." Well, when I come back, I saw the marker in the grave. I saw.
So many of the veterans I've interviewed over the years talk about their mother being back home, praying that they would come home.
Yeah.
And here, 4 of you boys are in the service. All 4 of you come home from the war, but your mother's not there.
Yeah, right. And Walt, my younger brother, feels so bad, because after Don and I was gone, and he wanted to go and get in the service so bad, he got in, and while he's on his way to where he was boot camp or in some place, that's when Mom died. And so then he felt like he caused Mom to pass away because him going to service.
It's hard.
Yeah.
In terms of your service on the Solis, do you feel like what you did was important?
Oh, yes. I figured like we, instead of shooting people, we were saving people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when the war ended?
Oh, yeah. I was on Liberty in Sioux City. They were whistling, horns were blowing, and all this stuff. We went down the street, and everybody else was, Casey and I, and somebody else was down on 4th Street. We were walking around, I had my uniform on. Everybody was grabbing everybody, hugging, kissing, and all that sort of stuff. So I remember that night. But then they was kicking, telling us to get off the street. I couldn't believe it. We were in uniform. They wanted us to get off the street because they didn't want no troubles.
Right.
How we was going to cause trouble, I don't know.
And we've all seen pictures of New York City on VJ Day and the mass of humanity in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But Sioux City was the same way, huh?
Oh,
everybody
yes.
was finding someone to hug and kiss and party with.
Everybody, you know, it's a pretty wild party.
Well, and I guess the reality is, too, the fact that Japan surrendered saved you from going back over there on the Solis for more wounded, right?
Right. We would have been one of the ships. They had about four of our different hospital ships.
Yeah. But they were going to need every one they could get with casualties they forecasted.
Would have been over.
And then you're out of the Navy, but you're still in the reserves.
Right.
And you're working for Union Pacific Railroad, upholstering all these train cars.
Right.
And then the Navy calls you and says, "Hey, 3 days, you better be here because you're going to Korea."
Yeah.
Went
down to the meeting, bulletin up there, list of names, and that's when I had to quit my job and get rid of my car, left my car down in Sioux City.
So you end up for 2 years based out of Japan, going to Korea back and forth to different assignments with this surgical team. And it kind of sounds a lot like, if anyone's ever watched the TV show MASH, that's kind of what you guys were doing, huh?
Yeah, we worked out of tents.
Uh-huh.
We worked out of tents. We were available for that time. And when we got through with ours, they'd have another group, you know, come in and be up to them.
So they would fly you into these locations?
Oh, yeah, they'd fly us in. Yep. back here, we're there.
And how long would you stay?
And we'd probably stay maybe a month, whatever.
Were the injuries you guys were treating similar to what you saw in World War II or different?
Different. We'd be having them come in and treat bandage. We'd have to have duty at night. You know, you go through and check all the wards. Like me, I had night duty, which scared me. And another thing, too, see, ordinarily, corpsmen didn't carry guns.
Right.
But we still had our mask, we still had our gun, and we were supposed to keep our guns with us. And this one night, especially, I decided I better had to go potty, because the tent was off to the side. I go over there, and all of a sudden, I'm looking over in the shadow. It looked just like someone was crouched low, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like to me, and I kept looking and looking and looking, seeing if it's going to move or whatever, you know. It bothered me. I was scared. I got out. It was just the moon up there, reflection, making it look like somebody was crouched over there. So I made sure I didn't go middle of the night.
When you're talking about World War II and your time on the Solis, you talked about how nonstop it could be and how if you had a corridor full of patients, you had to keep going until they were all through.
Oh, you went.
What about in Korea? How did that dynamic play out
there? Well, we didn't have that much. In Korea, we had some patients. We had the surgical tent, you know, we could go treat them for something rather needed. We didn't do much. They would take the patients and then fly them out someplace.
Right. But as far as your job, it was kind of the same, getting things ready, the same kind of things that you did in World War II?
Yeah, we had to be available to do these different things and whatever.
It was just not as nonstop.
But it wasn't a nonstop thing. And it was so hot, I swear up and down, in summertime it's the hottest place in the world, and wintertime, I swear up and down, it's the coldest place.
When that TV show MASH came out, did you watch it?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was...
Was it realistic?
Yeah, more or less. You know, it was more or less comedy.
Yeah.
But I knew from experience, which I had in going down to the other place to see what we went through, it was interesting.
So you get done with Korea. If you had stayed in, I'm sure you would have been sent to Vietnam too, but you get out of the Navy, you go back to work for the railroad, you upholster for trains for Union Pacific and Amtrak until you retire in 1985, and then 20 years later they build this World War II memorial in Washington, D.C. Because of guys like you, it wasn't the government that built it, it was World War II veterans donating almost $200 million to make it, and then they come up with this honor flight to fly guys back there, and you got to take an honor flight here in Kern County to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? What'd you get
out of it? Oh, that was nice. I seen a lot of it because I was stationed in Dahlgren, Virginia, which was not too far from Washington, D.C., and I went up to Washington, D.C. for some liberties once in a while. I'd be out there in the process of doing so. I did go out to the Unknown Soldier, and I saw a couple things. But still, I went on this flight, and it was great.
What was the best part of that trip for you?
Best part of that trip was just sit back and relax, and the group going around and seeing the different memorials and the food. The food was delicious. And then when you come back, there's just hundreds of people around clapping, wishing us luck, and all that sort of stuff, you know, which is very interesting.
The World War II memorial specifically, what did you think about while you were there looking at all the different parts of that, the fountain, the pillars with every state, the storyboards about the different elements of the war, some battles where you were with the Solis, and then that wall of gold stars representing all those
know,
who died.
It's good. They keep that up. Now, how long are they going to be able to keep up? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, as long as guys like you are around, they'll keep it going.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us some of your stories. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you think we should know?
If I had to do it again, I'd do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back. and Navy and follow through. So I had to do it. Here I am, 91, 92, and I could still get up and dance. I slowed down a lot because my legs sort of my lower back bothers me a little bit. The Lord has been good. The Lord has been good to me, and I figure what I went through, and I've always kept busy because I got myself thinking a lot of times to make myself forget. You know, you ever think, I just want to forget and I don't remember a lot. So now when I want to remember something, I have to ask her even what's half the time, what day is this? what day is it? Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, everything else, you know.
I got one more question for you. I don't know if it's an easy one to answer, but I'd be really interested in your perspective on it. Like you said, you're 91. The Lord's been good to you. You're still dancing. Your brother's still alive. But most of us alive today didn't live through World War II. We don't know what it was like to be where you were, to live through those times. So as one of four brothers who served, as one of 16 million Americans who served during that war, as somebody who saw on a daily basis on that ship these guys who paid a big part of that price with their own bodies, what do you think those of us today need to know and remember about World War II and what all you guys did?
Well, I think it's remember those guys that did willingly give their lives away. If something would have happened, that was it. It was naturally the way, here today and gone tomorrow. You've got to expect it. And I think that the ones that are living yet and can be good health, like I tell Gloria, we're just lucky that we do have pretty good health. And we're just very fortunate to be able to go on, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to be. So just be thankful of what you got. Pray for the ones that are sick, that they will be restored and get back to enjoy whatever time they got left. And thank God that you were able to, in my case, do something instead of shoot up somebody and everything. My job was to preserve life and not take it, not take it away. So I'm pretty fortunate.
And I know we all feel pretty fortunate to have shared this hour with you. Cecil Blackford, 91 years old, of Tehachapi, California. Maybe you'll catch him there at one of their monthly Honor Flight reunion breakfasts. You'll find photos and videos with Cecil online at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And you'll also find links to the Honor Flight program, which is happening in your area just like it is in mine. And speaking of, if you happen to be listening on one of our affiliate stations in Central California, join me in welcoming home 65 veterans from their honor flight on Wednesday, June 29th at the Fresno Yosemite International Airport. That is 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday night in Fresno. And if you're hearing this show on one of our other stations in other states, look up the next honor flight there and get involved. You won't regret it. Most importantly, sign up the veterans in your life before it's too late. We're out of time on Hometown Heroes today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.